In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So today, August 6th, we have the Feast of the Transfiguration, our Lord taking aside Peter, James, and John up to Mount Tabor, where he's miraculously transfigured before them. And actually, it wasn't miraculously transfigured. What was miraculous is that our Lord didn't look like that all the time. The miracle was that, you know, he was just always looking normal, but the glorious, the radiant rays of, you know, light and his white, you know, face shining and garments. It should have been all the time that our Lord looked like that, because that would be the effects, the normal effects of sanctifying grace in the soul. In fact, all of us would look like that if God didn't prevent it from happening. Same thing with the transubstantiation. The host, it's a miracle that the host keeps looking like bread or wine, because none of the bread and wine remain. So that really is the inverse miracle. Every Mass is a miracle at which it doesn't transform. And St. Thomas Aquinas says, though, that in this life, because a question is asked, why doesn't the soul transform? How come the effects of the soul, like supernatural effects of grace, original sin, and so on, why don't those have an effect, a visible effect on the body? Because it's recognized that they actually should, because it's of a higher order. Something that is higher affects what is lower. There should be a visible effect. And Thomas Aquinas has many, many reasons. But among them, you know, the most important is that God knows what is to our ultimate good. If people saw the effects of the soul or the spirit immediately, there'd be no reward for faith. There'd be no effort to believe in God. And there might be more conversions, but there would also be more obduracy. More people even still would still disbelieve. There would still be that obstinate refusal to accept God. So among these many reasons is why we don't see all the effects of grace and so on all the time. But I would like really today to speak about a particular event when God's grace was visible, when the power of God and of prayer and of living a state of grace was visible. And that would be 77 years ago today, August 6th, Feast of the Transfiguration, when one of the atomic bombs was dropped on the city of Hiroshima. And we may not know it, but there were survivors from the epicenter of the blast. 8 Jesuits and their house and their church, which remained standing, and you can see pictures of it. The entire city of Hiroshima is leveled except for these 2 little houses, and it was the Jesuits. How did they survive? Well, let's hear a little bit about that, and we're going to see this is the effect, like that transfiguration. This is the power of God visible in the world. So this is from an article called The Hiroshima 8, the Jesuit priests who miraculously survived the atomic blast through praying the rosary. So it recounts that, again, August 6th, Feast of the Transfiguration, American B-29 bomber dropped the atomic bomb on that Japanese city of Hiroshima. And within a 1-mile radius of the epicenter, every building was leveled and every person was incinerated. The total damage encompassed 43 square miles from that one bomb. And eight blocks away from the epicenter of the blast, like 2,000 feet, was that Jesuit mission house, and had 8 Jesuit priests in it. And that house and those Jesuits should have been completely obliterated by the temperature, the pressure, and the radiation from the atomic bomb. But they were not. Not only did they survive, but again, their house and the church remained standing. So let's consider some of those, like temperature. At 350 degrees, clothing starts to burn. At 750 degrees, one breath of the air, just a few seconds of breathing that temperature, will destroy the lungs. The temperature of where the Jesuit house stood was in excess of 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The Jesuit survived. Atmospheric pressure, PSI, refers to pounds per square inch. At 3 PSI, 3 pounds per square inch, unreinforced masonry or brick walls, standard commercial construction, are destroyed. At 10 PSI, a human being will experience severe lung and heart damage, and eardrums will burst. At 20 PSI, limbs will start to get blown off. The atmospheric pressure, the PSI where the Jesuit house stood, was in excess of 600. The Jesuit survived. And even people who survived the blast, anywhere near the city, suffered from varying degrees of radiation poisoning. Most were 1 to 2 miles away from the city, and they began to die because of radiation. It was cancer, a few months or a year, even days. Days afterwards, people were dying. Days, months, weeks, and years, people continued to die. However, U.S. Army doctors remained baffled by these Jesuits who, at their proximity, not killed by the temperature, not killed by the atmospheric pressure, should have been dead within minutes from the radiation. But the doctors found these Jesuits showed no signs of radiation poisoning for months, weeks, years, and decades. For the next 30 years after this, scientists and doctors would examine these Hiroshima Jesuits over 200 times and never found a single effect of radiation. Here's the words of Dr. Stephen Reinhardt of the U.S. Department of Defense, and he was present at the city after the bombing. He said, "No way could any human have survived, nor should anything have been left standing at 1 kilometer from the epicenter. At 10 times that distance, 10 to 15 kilometers, I saw brick walls standing from an elementary school and a few badly burned survivors, all of whom died within 15 years from some form of cancer." Reconnaissance pictures taken of a panoramic view from the epicenter of the blast showed some kind of two-story building totally intact, at least from what I could make out, and it looked to me like the windows were in place. That was the Jesuit house. Also, there was a church with walls still standing a few hundred yards away, although the roof was gone. The Department of Defense never commented officially on this, and I suspect it was classified and never discussed in open literature. I think the Jesuits were also asked not to say anything either. Thus, Dr. Stephen Reinhardt, U.S. Department of Defense. And you see this routinely in official state documents, especially with Medal of Honor recipients. Anytime there's an extraordinary event, people will say, like, I had a vision of St. Michael, or I was praying the rosary, or it was my belief in God. The U.S. Department of Defense removes all of that from official accounts and will only relate the bare facts. So even in this, though, the facts aren't recorded. That these 8 persons survived, the Department of Defense won't talk about it. They don't want to record it because it can't be explained by science. No way. No way a human being can survive 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit, even for an instant, 600 PSI radiation. Absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. So how was it? How did they survive? We know, of course, it's the power of God, but the Jesuits go further. They relate it to something specific. The Jesuits testify, "We believe that we survived because we were living the message of Fatima. We lived and prayed the rosary daily in that house." And that was their explanation. It was the Blessed Virgin. Recitation of the rosary, fidelity to their state in life. Now, it's interesting that not every Catholic in Hiroshima was saved, but only those Jesuits. There was 8 Jesuits there because there were a lot of Catholics, but none of them survived, not like the Jesuits. So why did God do that? Well, we have that explanation from St. Thomas Aquinas. Is God prevents what would normally happen. God prevents these miraculous, we would see them as miraculous, but they're not. They're normal events considering sanctifying grace and the state of our soul. But God doesn't allow that to happen because he knows it wouldn't be to our ultimate benefit. It wouldn't be to his ultimate glory. That's why these things do or don't happen. And we can't decide or we can't discern why this or why that, why this but not that. We don't know. But what we can do is look at what does happen and point it out and say there's no scientific explanation for this. You know, 70 years later, science still has no explanation. Not even a shred, not even a clue, nothing close to an explanation. But this is perfectly consistent with our faith. Over and over again, we have the miracles in the past. We have Fatima. The miracle of Fatima, the miracle of the sun, that was witnessed by 100,000 people. We have a member of the Department of Defense present, witnessing this, giving a testimony. These are things that the Catholic Church needs to be broadcasting and publishing and drawing people's attention to, scientific fact. That it really is, it's inexcusable that this is not being done. In today's church, that's no surprise, but this is the kind of thing that the world needs to hear. That's why God allows these things to happen, is for the conversion of the world. But at least for us, we can be strengthened by these accounts when life gets difficult for us. We can be firm. Our faith is true. We possess the truth. We have ample evidence, scientific evidence, moral evidence, reason, logic, reason, etc. Everything's on the side of the Catholic Church. Everything is on the side of the faith. And this is just one more thing inspiring us, filling us with confidence. So it's good to know these stories so that we can relate them to people and they can see how firm we are and that we have not just a firmness of belief, but the external reality on our side as well, science and history and so on. So on this Feast of the Transfiguration, let us be more convinced than ever. Let us not grow weary or faint or faint-hearted in the difficulties we meet in life, but simply realize it's possible. God knows, God is in charge, and if a miracle really is necessary, he'll work one. He can turn things around in an instant. In an instant, the world can be transfigured. The world can be transformed. It's not on our timeline, it's on God's timeline, but we know he can do it. We know that he wants to do it. It's going to be our prayers and our generosity that help make that happen. Let's keep that in our prayers, and let's be more convinced than ever, pray the rosary in obedience to Our Lady, and she will unfailingly protect and guide us as well. So God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.